Ask Dr. Saram, episode number 35.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Saram, a podcast about integrative medicine and your health. And now, here is Dr. Saram Khalsa.
Greetings and welcome to Ask Dr. Saram, a podcast about integrative medicine and your health. I'm Dr. Saram Khalsa, and this podcast is to help you and your family and friends take your health to the next level of wellness by bringing you information about enlightened medicine, conscious living, and compassionate healing. And today is part three of my excellent interview, which I so much enjoyed, with Chef AJ, a vegan chef. For those of you who have not joined us on previous episodes, Chef AJ is the author of the book Unprocessed. She was the executive vegan pastry chef at Sante Restaurant, and she's been a chef and culinary instructor in Los Angeles for the past 12 years. Her book, as I mentioned, is titled Unprocessed, with a subtitle, How to Achieve Vibrant Health and Your Ideal Weight. And this book is a great book for learning how to make food that you eat that's unprocessed. It has over 100 easy recipes to do. And as many of you know, I took her course a few weeks ago, which really introduced me to the world of easy vegan cooking. I had the pleasure earlier today to be at a small get-together with Dr. Gould, the author of Shrink Yourself, with AJ, and I have a wonderful picture of Chef AJ and I, which I'm going to put on the website because she sponsored this event, and I was just delighted to go and hope to let you know more about Dr. Gould at a future time. In our podcast today, and continuing part three of our interview, we're going to start talking about how important it is to stop eating oil and sugar. And AJ learned this from attending lectures by Dr. Esselstyn, who, as you know, and I've mentioned before, is now President Bill Clinton's physician, helping him to reverse his heart disease. There's two books that AJ recommends at the beginning of this podcast. One is called The End of Overeating, and the other book is called The Pleasure Trap, which talks about the psychological effects of eating. Both of these are links in the show notes today. She also mentions in her interview about a noted cardiologist in Texas, Dr. Baxter Montgomery, who talks about genetic diseases. And I really like his saying. He has an interesting saying with this, which is, it's not the disease that runs in your family, it's the recipes. And that is really, I think, a true statement. Chef AJ estimates, and I would agree that it's probably close to this number, that 90% of diseases are under our own control. When whether we get sick or not is determined by our behavior and our food habits. And we delve into the concept of epigenetics, which I've talked with you all about before. Epi means above. Epigenetics tells us that food talks directly to our genes. And I might add from some of my previous podcasts with Dr. Crinion, environmental chemicals talk directly to our genes as well. But by picking the food, we are able to turn on the good genes and turn off bad genes. And we can actually change how our genes are expressing themselves. And then in this interview, I'm going to talk with AJ about milk and cheese, and she gives some very graphic descriptions of what is in milk. And, you know, she reminds us that if we had our own cow in our own yard and you didn't feed it GMO grain and you wanted to milk it yourself, maybe that would be okay, but we understand how animals are raised in dairy farms, and AJ's going to talk to us about that. She reminds us that over 50% of antibiotics go to farm animals rather than to human beings. And in addition, I'll mention to you that she recommends a cheese-like product called Daiya, D-A-I-Y-A. And again, I got a link to that in the show notes today. And then my favorite part of our interview is the part where we talk about the yeah buts. And what is a yeah but? It's what, when I say to a patient, I want you to do so-and-so, they say, yeah, but, and then they have an excuse or a reason that they cannot do it. And AJ talks about the yeah buts for people that she's met with in terms of transitioning to a whole food plant-based vegan diet. And so now let us transition to the last part of my interview with Chef AJ. I want to remind you that there will be a transcript of all three parts of the interview available on my website for you to review. So let's transition now to the interview, the third part with Chef AJ. So then, since then, that was 2003, you have been really on this diet yourself. And,
and I keep refining it. You know, when I learn more, I do more. You know, I learned about, I didn't know really how bad oil was until I heard Dr. Esselstyn speak in 2008, and then I really understood it, and we stopped oil. And, you know, sugar, I kind of came to my own conclusion just in my own personal life. But, you know, I mean, there's so many great resources out there now that explain this stuff, The End of Overeating. The book, The Pleasure Trap, explains why this stuff is so addictive. And, you know, I mean, I really, my appetite now, instead of for processed food, I have an insatiable appetite for knowledge. So anytime I read one of these books or hear one of these speakers, I mean, this to me is the most exciting thing, because just to know that you can eat in a manner to guarantee you will never have a heart attack and stroke, and you can guarantee it, because the heart study showed that no one with a blood cholesterol of under 150 milligrams ever had a cardiac event. This is good news. This is exciting that I can control my health destiny with what I eat, instead of digging my own grave with my knife and fork, which is what everybody in my family, all my grandparents, my parents, all my aunts and uncles, who are now dead earlier than they needed to be, from eating this way.
Wow.
This isn't a punishment. This is exciting. I mean, this is exciting news. And, you know, the most exciting things that are happening are in the field of epigenetics. Dr. John Kelly talked about
it. I know. Epigenetics is very exciting. We've talked about that with my audience in several interviews.
And what people don't understand is, because, like, a lot of people just, they I don't want to say they're victims, but, like, they'll say, well, you know, but cancer runs in my family, diabetes runs in your family. Well, you know, there's a wonderful Houston cardiologist who uses a plant-based diet named Baxter Montgomery, and he says, it's not the disease that runs in the family, it's the recipe. That's what's running in your family. Epigenetics. Genetics actually only accounts for a fraction of whether or not you get sick. A fraction. I mean, some say it's as little as 3 to 5%, but let's just say it's 10% that determines whether or not you get a disease. That means that 90% of whether or not you get sick is in your control by some few very simple behaviors, such as what you eat, do you exercise, do you smoke, do you drink alcohol, do you get enough sleep? And if you have stress, do you mitigate it? Now, not medicate it, mitigate it, because that's the problem in our society. See, everybody is medicating their stress.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that people should never have a drink or take antidepressants, but the problem is we use food and things that are not as healthy to celebrate, but we also use them to medicate. And that's the problem, because we're all really, really stressed. And what we're looking for is dopamine. And when you eat, when you have alcohol, when you, you know, when you eat this highly processed food that's very unnatural, it's not consistent with our species' natural history, what you do is you get an unnatural hit of dopamine that never could have occurred in the natural world. And a lot of people are stressed, they're born with low dopamine receptivity, and instead of doing the things they could do to increase their dopamine, which are like exercise, have sex, do volunteer work, they just go to the vending machine. And they just many, many times a day, and that is because what they're really looking for is dopamine. But the great thing about epigenetics is that what they've learned is that, let's say that even 10%, let's say 10% that you might get this disease, when you eat properly, nutrition actually can change your gene expression.
Yep.
So we're not powerless victims. We're powerful initiators of our own health. But we have to do something about it. What do we have to do? We have to eat right. And the thing is most people are so addicted to animal products, particularly dairy, and the processed food, particularly the sugar and fat, that they don't see a way out. You know, it's like eating poorly has become so commonplace, and it's so accepted.
It's accepted as normal.
Yeah, and also people don't want to be different. A lot of people don't want to look different or appear different or be different than their friends or family. A lot of people don't like to rock the boat. You know, but here's the thing. I always say that, you know, I mean, look at what, you know, my hero, if I could go back in history, if I could have dinner with one person, it would be Rosa Parks. Because, see, Rosa Parks didn't get on that bus and say, you know what, I just better go back to the back of the bus because I don't want to rock the boat. But you know what? Her rocking the boat changed the course of human history for every person on this planet.
Absolutely. Now, I want to go back to something you mentioned just a second ago, and that is dairy. Milk, cheese, dairy is such an integral part of our lives in America.
Yep.
What's wrong with milk and cheese?
Well, many things, but let's just start with the obvious. Again, consuming a diet consistent with our species' natural history, if you look what man ate for most of the course on the planet, it wasn't dairy. This is a fairly recent phenomenon. You know, if you look at every species on the planet, human beings are the only species that not only drink milk after maturity, but actually drink milk of another species. A goat going under a horse. I mean, sure, there's been rare circumstances of infants that were orphaned, but I'm talking in general.
Right.
No other species drinks the milk of another species.
Right.
The thing, cow's milk is great if you're a calf and you're trying to be 800 pounds in a year. It's for human consumption. First of all, 70% of the world is lactose intolerant anyway. They say that all Jews, African Americans, Asians.
That's interesting. I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah, it's really so 70% of the world can't even digest the sugar in milk anyway. And for the few that can, it's not a natural food for humans. If you read the books like The China Study or like Whitewashing or Not Milk, there's movies and websites, you'll understand that specifically, it's not just cow's milk, because people say, well, then I'll drink goat's milk, but it's the casein, it's the protein in milk that Dr. Campbell quite accidentally stumbled upon to find out that was the most potent carcinogen he had ever encountered. You know, people accuse, you know, I don't know how Dr. Campbell does it, because he's always being attacked, and he's been accused of having a vegan agenda. But if you really look at his life story, he hasn't been vegan very long.
That's right.
He was a dairy farmer.
Yeah.
That's what he did for a living, and he was that hired by the dairy industry to find a way to get cows to produce more milk. And in this research, stumbled upon the fact that the protein in milk was carcinogenic, that he was able to turn cancer on and off by giving the animals the casein, the protein in milk. And so that's one thing. But here's the other thing. Like, if you had a goat or a cow in your yard, and, you know, and you didn't feed it GMO grain, and, you know, you wanted to, for some reason, squeeze his udder and drink it, you know, maybe that would be okay. But what you have to understand is that the way animals are raised vary in this country, not only is it cruel and inhumane, but it's disgusting. If you knew what was in your milk, you would never drink milk, eat ice cream.
What's in our milk?
Blood, pus, and shit. Basically.
Really? How is that?
Okay, here's how. At least beef cows, they get to move around, but dairy cows are impregnated in something called a rape rack. It's the most disgusting practice in the world.
What a name.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. So they're impregnated, and they're short lives. They're about 5 years because basically they give out. Their bones are so weak they basically collapse and die, and then they're ground up and often fed to other cows. So these dairy cows are impregnated, and they're kept in a stall, and they stand their whole sad, pathetic life.
Wow.
Their babies are ripped for them. If their babies are a boy, they become veal. So here's the thing. When people tell me I'm a vegetarian for human reasons, I'm like, there's no such thing as humane dairy, because when you contribute to dairy, you contribute to veal. So if the calf is a male, he's got a chain strapped around his neck for the few short days of his life where he's kept anemic, unable to walk, unable to nurse from his mother, and he's sold his veal. But here's the thing. The cow stands there all day with these machines attached to her udders.
Right.
And here's the thing. She's given so many drugs, hormones, antibiotics to get her to produce more milk, that even if you thought drinking milk was a good idea, it's not anymore, because 80% of the world's antibiotics goes to farm animals. And that is why when something really scary happens in the news, like this, there's bird flu, that the mosquito, what are they talking about? The West Nile virus now they're talking about, they found in parts of the San Fernando Valley, or bird flu or things like that. When human beings get truly, truly sick, the reason so many of them die is because most human beings are resistant to every antibiotic out there because they spent their life eating meat and dairy, and they're eating the tissues or the lactation fluids of the animals that basically their whole lives were treated with mass quantities of hormones and antibiotics. So that's one. So it's just from a health standpoint, it's
Where does the blood, pus, and the stool come in?
Okay, so it comes from, the cow's standing in one place with these machines attached to her udders. And anybody out there that's a female that's breastfed knows that when you breastfeed, your nipples get sore and tender. And if you breastfeed continuously, they often crack. When they crack, you get something called mastitis, where it actually oozes blood and pus. Well, these cows are in a chronic state of mastitis because the machines are never taken off. So blood and pus goes in the milk. And the USDA understands this. And so in our country, a certain level of blood and pus is allowed in the milk.
Wow.
You can't just claim it out. But the worst part is, you know, the farmer doesn't say, hey, come here, Elsie, let's go for a walk. It's time to go to the bathroom. The cow is basically shitting in her own milk product.
Wow.
Blood, pus, and feces in the milk.
Wow.
Now, what's the USDA comes along and inspects the product, the milk, and they put they take slides under a microscope and they're looking. And if the USDA finds out that there's either too much blood, too much pus, or too much feces, or any combination in the milk, the farmer doesn't throw it out because that would be bad for business. What they do is they make cheese out of it.
They make cheese out of it. Oh, my gosh.
And so the thing is, well, I can get most of my students to stop drinking milk by teaching them how to make their own rice milk or own almond milk for their cereal.
Mm-hmm.
How to get people to stop eating cheese and ice cream. And the reason isn't because people love to eat blood, pus, and feces. It's because of another chemical in the dairy that's addictive to the brain. Neil Barnard talks about this a lot in his book, Bridging the Food Seduction, and he has a free lecture available online. But when you consume casein in your brain, it turns to something called casomorphine.
Uh-huh.
Caso pertaining to casein, the protein in dairy, and morphine, an opiate-like compound. So what happens, just like when people eat food high in sugar, fat, and salt, it creates dopamine surge that would never exist in the natural world. When people eat these very concentrated products like cheese and ice cream that they would never also have gotten in the natural world, it creates a feel-good feeling in their brain. It's like an opiate to their brain. And
mm-hmm.
I used to work for Dr. Matt Letterman, who's one of the two doctors in Forks Over Knives, and he said this half-jokingly to his patients. He was so convinced that giving up dairy should be the very first thing people do and possibly the most important. He would say, look, if you give up dairy, I'll write you a prescription for morphine that's straight down your back. And, you know, dairy in children is linked to why there's so much autoimmune disease and
mm-hmm.
things like type 1 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So dairy is not only the cruelest and most inhumane of all the practices of farmed animals, but it's probably the worst for our health as well. And as far as from a taste standpoint, look, I mean, raw food vegan cooking has evolved to such an art now that there's nothing you can't get that won't look and taste like cheese. But the problem is, even if I give you a day of cheese, which I don't necessarily advocate because it's processed, but I sure advocate it for people in a transition, and I'd rather have them eat day of cheese than real cheese, it's going to taste good, it's going to look good, but it's not going to give you that hit of morphine in your brain. And so, you know, I think we're approaching
I'm sorry, AJ, what kind of cheese?
Yeah, it's a processed cheese product, D-A-I-Y-A. I do not recommend people
eat it. D-A-Y-A-A, okay.
Yeah, Daya cheese, and it tastes just like cheese. It comes in all kinds of flavors now.
Yep.
Even pizza parlors throughout Los Angeles, like the original Pizza Cookery and Z Pizza, will make you a vegan pizza with it. It looks like it's soy-free, which is good news for people that can't have soy.
Right.
It looks sweet, it tastes like cheese, it melts like cheese. It's a great transition.
And what is it? What is it made out of?
It's something called the cassava root.
Oh, okay.
But it does have a lot of oil, but boy, I mean, the stuff is really tasty, and I would macaroni and cheese with it. I would much rather have people eating that than dairy.
Yes.
It's not going to give them that hit of feel-good chemical in their brain. So, you know, we need to figure out why people feel so bad in the first place and do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like teach them to meditate, teach them to exercise, teach them love and compassion and kindness and volunteer work. Because, you know, there are ways to feel good without food, alcohol, and drugs.
Yes.
I mean, food. But we don't necessarily need the foods that we're turning to get this hit of dopamine in our brain or this hit of casomorphine. I mean, it's hard because these foods are designed to be addictive, and once you get hooked in the pleasure trap, they become even more so. But, you know, again, it's like people have got to want to do it, and that's the thing. And a lot of people wait until they hit rock bottom, until they get cancer, heart disease, or diabetes to change their diet. I have been teaching this stuff for 35 years and have only met 3 people my entire life that adopted this diet in the absence of no physical problem. They said, this sounds like a good idea, I'm going to do it. Most people have to wait till they're so overweight they can't stand it anymore, or have such bad allergies, or such bad, you know, something, asthma, migraines, autoimmune disease, heart disease, diabetes, and then they're like, okay, well, now I'll do something. And you know what? It's a lot easier if you do it proactively, I've got to tell you, because the longer you indulge in addiction, just the harder it is to break.
Yes.
So,
now, VAJ, I want to interrupt for a sec, because I want to transition to your book, which is called Unprocessed,
mm-hmm.
How to Achieve Vibrant Health and Your Ideal Weight, which you're the author of. And I would like, you know, one of my favorite sections of your book is Chapter 3, Do You Really Want to Do This? That's the subtitle. And you have something called Yabuts, Y-A-B-B-U-T. First of all, briefly tell us what a yabut is, and then I want to go through some of your yabuts.
Yeah, a yabut is an excuse. So I would, you know, people would come to my class and I'd say, you know, you need to, like, not give your kids sugar. Yabut. Yabut. There's always yabut.
Okay, and so yabut. Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you, I want to go through a couple of your yabuts, because I know my audience is going to have these yeah buts. Yeah but number one, you would say you should be a vegan or a whole food unprocessed vegan. The first yeah but is it's too expensive to eat this way.
Okay, that's balderdash, because Dr. McDougall proved that you can eat this way for $3.33. And Ellen Jaffe Jones recently wrote a book called Vegan on $4 a Day.
Fantastic.
So that is not true. It's only if you're eating out a lot at restaurants or
yes.
eating the designer vegan processed foods like the Gardein, like the Tofutti Cuties, that it's expensive. Because whole natural food, especially things like potatoes and rice and beans that you can buy in bulk, are some of the least expensive foods on earth. I always joke that beans are so cheap in bulk, they're practically free. And it's true. I mean, 99 cents a pound. So it is a completely false. It is not expensive to eat this way unless you're doing processed vegan food.
So let me move to yeah, but number two. I don't have the time to prepare healthy food. Now, that's a biggie in Los Angeles.
Absolutely, and I agree. But here's the thing about time, Doc, is we all have the same 24 hours in a day.
Right.
Is more blessed with time than others. So the thing is you need to look at your time, because if you don't have time now to eat healthy or feed your family healthy, you're going to need a lot more time and money later to treat the diseases mm-hmm. that eating healthy food cause. You know, nobody has time for preparing a meal, but they all have time, you know, for heart bypass surgery. They always seem to make time for that. They always seem to make time for the dialysis for their diabetes.
Yeah.
So you either pay the grocer or you pay the doctor. The thing is yes, you do need to advocate. You need to spend some time. But as you know, I gave you a private cooking lesson, and I there are ways to make this so fast and affordable.
I know. That's one of the things I want to tell my audience, that not only in her course that I took a couple weeks ago, but I had a private training program with AJ because I was so impressed. She makes food fast. It is, and with a pressure cooker that she mentioned earlier on, you can get stuff done in, like, you can make food in 10 minutes at the most.
Last night, my poor husband, I got so busy, and he showed up, and we had to leave. Listen to this. We had to leave at 7 o'clock because we had movie plans.
Right.
And at 30, he comes home, and I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot to make dinner. I was that busy. I'm not kidding. I had some lentils in the house. I live literally next door to Trader Joe's. I went next door. I bought a pack of pre-cut onions, pre-cut mushrooms. I always have spices. I threw it in the pressure cooker. 8 minutes, we had the most delicious lentil tacos you can imagine.
There you go. There you go.
You do need to maybe, you know, here's the thing. It's like if you were born speaking French and I'm all of a sudden saying, look, you got everybody, Spanish is the best, and you're like, well, it's too hard, it takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn the language, of course.
Yes,
you need to, in a cooking class or a DVD, but once you have a pressure cooker, it's nonsense, because I get dinner on the table. I get dinner on the table 30 minutes or less every single night with inexpensive, readily available ingredients. This
Fantastic.
Is how I cook, this is how I eat.
Fantastic.
So if this was a priority, money and time wouldn't even be an issue.
I want to go on to yeah, but number three.
Okay.
But I can't live without my fill in the blank, my Coca-Cola, my this, my that.
Fortunately, that's where addiction comes in.
Yes.
And most people don't like the word addict. They don't consider themselves an addict because everybody else is doing it, so it must be okay. I mean, I have people tell me they go to their doctor's offices
mm-hmm.
and he'll have a can of Diet Coke on his desk.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Come on. I mean, like, how are you going to, you know, and I don't want to judge people on their appearance, but when your doctor is significantly overweight, you know, of course you're not going to do what he says,
right.
You know. I mean, I laugh because I used to be a respiratory therapist, and the head of pulmonary smoked. That's the thing. So, but you got to look at that addiction. And here's the thing. Even if you can't give up blank,
mm-hmm.
still have fruits and vegetables. The take-home message is, even if you're still got a 3-Coke-a-day habit, eat fruits and vegetables,
yes.
too.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. Make a transition. You didn't do this overnight. And
no, I'm still transitioning. I'm 52 years old, and as I learn better, I do better, and I'm still transitioning.
All right, yeah, but number four, which is this is relevant, but my friends and family won't support me in this.
Well, that could be a whole nother hour call to talk
right.
about that.
Okay.
And in the short run is, if you're a parent, you need to explain to your children and your husband that you're doing this because you love them, because you want to be around for them, because research shows that if you don't change your eating now, you're going to lose 10, 20, or 30 years off your life,
mm-hmm.
and the quality of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that even if they don't want to join you, you know, you have to model the behavior, first of all, and it's better if both parents do it, but that's the thing. If they won't join you, you know, I mean, look at the, what was that, Johnstown. You know, I mean, if Jim Jones wanted me to drink Kool-Aid, I'd say no thank you. You know, you sometimes have to think for yourself and just do what's right, even if everybody else is
mm-hmm.
doing something different. different. And you know what they call those people, Doc? They call them heroes.
Wow. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Now, the last yabut in your book, it's the yabut, it's too hard and I have too much stress.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And it becomes a self-perpetuating cycle.
Yes.
Because the stress, so you're low on dopamine, so you drink the alcohol, the coffee, the animal products, the sugar to get more dopamine, and then you end up burning out your adrenals, and you end up getting more stress and more stress, and then eventually most people hit rock bottom either through an accident, an illness, or something that happens in their life that causes them to do that. The thing is eating this way will create less stress. It eventually will give you more money, more time, more peace of mind, because you'll feel so good about yourself physically. You will look better. You'll know that you aren't contributing to global warming by eating animal products and processed food. You know you won't be contributing animal suffering. These things will actually create less stress in your body and in your life.
Beautiful.
Eating the choices of animals that are scared to death before they're killed, that's stressful. Because all those fear hormones, you're eating.
Yes. Now, in your book, I'm very happy to let everybody know, you have a over 100 whole food plant indulgent recipes. And the first section in your recipe part of your book is called Decadent Desserts. And I want to tell our audience, you have a full page where it says, life is uncertain. Eat dessert first.
Exactly.
And you have about 15 delicious looking recipes for dessert here. Banana strawberry mousse tart, healthy pie crust, berry treasures, caramel apples, my gosh, cherry cobbler.
Well, you know, again, it's not about deprivation. And the thing is, I always tell people, you know, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything. Anything you do in the direction of optimum health, such as adding more fruits and vegetables in your day, is better than doing nothing. And I know realistically that most people are not going to stop eating desserts.
Right, right.
Have a dessert with white flour and white sugar and oil. Because I did this as a pastry chef.
Right.
I can make everything without these. And sure, they're going to be more calorie dense because they've got nuts and they've got dates, but they're going to have nutrients in it. They're going to be satisfying. You know, when I used to eat white flour and white sugar, I would have to eat like six of those little white cupcakes from Ralph's to be filled up. With my dessert, I can have a very, very small piece, two or three bites, because I'm eating nutrients and fiber. And, you know, and there's chocolate in the book. It's just there's no sugar, there's no dairy.
As part of your course, you gave us each a piece of chocolate cake. We didn't make it in the course, but to take home, I could only eat like three or four bites at one time. It lasted a couple of days in the refrigerator.
Exactly.
It was so satisfying.
As my friend John Allen Mollenhauer says, when you make the switch to nutrient rich, you get filled up on less food.
Yes.
Because there's so much fiber and nutrients in the food that we're advocating people eat. And, you know, here's the thing. You feel great the way you doing it and keep on doing it, but you know, when you really talk to people, most people are sleep deprived and you're not feeling the best. And again, you know, when you feel your best, you look better, and you know, especially if you live in LA, you know how important it is to look good.
Yes. So, AJ, before we close for today, I want to make sure that people that want to contact you or want to get your book know exactly how to reach you. And by the way, I'd love to have you back at a future time because, as everybody can tell, we're getting going.
Yeah, absolutely. Any of these subjects, I mean, we could talk about sugar for a whole hour. But I have three websites, but I guess the best one that links to all of them is eatunprocessed.com.
Okay, great.
And my book is also available, in addition to being on my website, it's also available at Amazon.
And the title of your book again?
Unprocessed, and it's got a big old potato on the cover.
Yes, perfect. Now, if people want to, what about the Eat LA? What is the website for that? If they want to come out in November for that course.
That's November 4th, and Dr. Kalf is going to be there. So
yep.
Right himself, that's Sunday, November 4th, the private dinner with Dr. Eccleston.
Yes.
It's Saturday, November 3rd, and those tickets can be purchased at HealthyTasteOfLA.com.
HealthyTasteOfLA.com, great. And now if people want to take this fabulous little course that I took, is that open to the public or by invitation only?
Public, and you don't even have to live in LA. I've had people fly in, believe it or not, from Minnesota. My next class Sunday, August 5th, is waitlist only, but I have a new class opening up on Sunday, August 26th.
Okay, great.
For 3 hours, and again,
they can get that again through your website.
They will just go to the store. If they go to the store, they can find everything: the classes, the Healthy Taste of LA, and the book.
If they go to what?
The store. Once they go on the website.
Oh, on the website, there's a store. Okay, great.
Yes,
great.
Store.
Fantastic, AJ. Thank you so much for this. I know it's going to bring up a lot of controversy and discussion in my listeners, and I'm ready to answer questions. And if we got questions I can't answer, I'm going to bring you back again, okay, and we can talk some more.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a
thank
pleasure.
You. Thank you. Bye-bye now. Well, that was fantastic. AJ certainly brings vivaciousness to her interviews, and she has, as you see, very strong feelings about diet and health, and she's been brought to that by her own health, which we talked about in the very first of the three-part interview. She's recommended some excellent books, which I can recommend to you, The End of Overeating, and links to that are in the show notes, as well as The Pleasure Trap, which is an amazing book about the psychology of how our brain gets set up into little loops of wanting more and more of things that are bad for us, especially sugar. As the more I practice medicine, I'm coming to agree with Chef AJ that 90% of our health is under our control. 10%, maybe 20% is dictated by genes. But as we talk about in this interview, epigenetics is a huge aspect of science now, and we're realizing, as I've said to you before, and as I talk to my patients about, food talks directly to our genes and turns on good genes or bad genes depending on what we are eating. Similarly, in my interviews with Dr. Walter Crinion that I've done on this podcast, we know that environmental chemicals talk to our genes. So all these things are talking to our genes. Just because you've got a family history of something does not necessarily mean you're locked in stone going to get it. You have control over your ability to turn your genes on, your good genes on, or to turn on the bad genes. It's up to you. I'd also like to point out that people say that Dr. Colin Campbell, who wrote the China study, had an axe to grind, quote unquote, against the milk industry. Not at all. He was raised as a dairy farmer. His family raised cows, and then, as we talked about in the interview, he was hired by the dairy industry to find a way to get cows to produce more milk. And in his research, he stumbled upon the fact that the protein in milk, called casein, was contributing to cancer, and he's done tremendous research as published in the China study. It was also very surprising to me that 50% of the world's antibiotics go to farm animals. And I wonder what percentage of hormones is going to farm animals. We then, as you know, talked about Chef AJ's book on process, which I really encourage you to take a look at and to read. It's got a whole bunch of fantastic vegan, raw food, unprocessed recipes in there, which she teaches in her courses. And I love the yeah buts that we talked about, and she went over most of them. And for more details, of course, you can look in her books, but I talk to my patients about yeah buts every day. And of course, we mentioned her website, which is eatunprocessed.com. And again, that you can find that in the show notes. And I encourage you to look at her website. She has some nice videos with Juliana Heaver, who I'm looking forward to interview. She is a registered dietitian who focuses on whole food plant-based nutrition, and she has some wonderful cooking demonstrations on her website. So I very much hope you enjoyed this interview and maybe inspiring you to talk with your families. I think her point about gradually shifting your diet, don't try to do everything overnight, is a very, very good one. None of us did this kind of change overnight. And I hope you're as excited about some of these things that she talked about as I am. So I want to thank you for joining me on Ask Dr. Saram. And please, if you have questions, email them to me at questions@askdrsaram.com. Or you can call me on my hotline and leave an integrative medicine hotline voicemail at 310-499-0275. And if you like this show and want to spread the word, please do rate me on iTunes so the word gets out there. I want to spread the message that we can all get healthier by doing natural types of therapy for ourselves. So thanks for joining me on Ask Dr. Saram. I'm wishing that your life is filled with enlightened medicine, conscious living, and compassionate healing.
Thank you for listening to the Ask Dr. Saram podcast. For more information about Dr. Saram's work, links to resources mentioned in this episode, or to invite him to speak at your event, please visit his website at www.askdrsaram.com. That's www.askdrsoram.com. You can submit your questions for the podcast by calling the voicemail question hotline at 310-499-0275. That number again is 310-499-0275. Or you may email your question to questions@askdrsaram.com. Thank you. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered medical advice. Consult your personal physician before you undertake any health-related regimen or program, or before ingesting any vitamin or supplement product.